We come together tonight once again to worship our God. As we do so, let us sing his praises from the words of Psalm 122. Psalm 122, the challenge we have as we gather ourselves together. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. Jerusalem as a city is, compactly built together. And to that place the tribes go up, the tribes of God go thither. To Israel's testimony there, to God's name thanks to pay. For thrones of judgment, even the thrones of David's house, there stay. Pray that Jerusalem may have peace and felicity. Let them that love thee and thy peace have still prosperity. These four stanzas from Psalm 122, I joyed when to the house of God.
I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall stand in be.
Now call on the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. We are mindful, O Lord, that this is thine own day and we gather in the evening of it, once again with the great privilege of worshipping thy name, praising and glorifying thee for all that thou art and the revelation thou hast given of thy character and of thy purposes of grace and of mercy towards thy people, and the way in which they have all come to pass and been fulfilled fully and completely in the coming of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would seek, therefore, Lord, to linger, to think over, to remember again and again the utter wonder of that great transaction, which took place underneath the shroud of darkness, involving the righteousness and the justice of our God in heaven and the guilt of sinners upon earth below. And the one who stood in our place and drank of that cup fully and completely, so that there is nothing left for us to discharge. O Lord our God, the pressure of life round about us seeks to squeeze all of these thoughts out of our thinking and to remove their influence from our living. And we bless thy name for the way in which we can gather ourselves here this evening and quite deliberately lay to one side all of the involvement of past days or days to come, and the way in which we can think of what thou hast done for us. And may we recruit all of the good things and the memories that we have as a stimulus to our worship and our praise now tonight. And Lord, as we engage in this great privilege, we are conscious of sin being our companion always, even in the highest and in the noblest and the greatest of spiritual privileges. And so we ask of thee, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us in Jesus Christ, thy Son. Let him be our only plea, the foundation on which we stand, and our boast in the courts of heaven. We ask of thee, Lord, that for his sake, thou wouldst be pleased to come amongst us once again, and that thou wouldst minister to each one of us here gathered, that we might know thy word measured and precisely for us, each of us different in our character and our experiences. But Lord, we pray that such would be the ministry that the shepherd exercises towards the sheep, that we might know that touch of power, of grace upon our souls. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst remember our homes and our loved ones, the older ones as well as the younger ones. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst, where there is knowledge of thy word, quicken that dormant seed to make it a living influence in those who possess it, that the things of spiritual value and significance might rise up in their thinking to take a prior place. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst work in them in ways that are so often strange to us. But Lord, nevertheless, in the path of salvation, so we ask that thou wouldst draw them unto thee. We stand as a nation before thee. We need, O Lord, thy blessing upon us. But help us also to recognize our own responsibility to speak up and to speak out whenever the opportunity comes our way. Help us, Lord, to share with others what we get from thee this day. And where we see error and fault, where we see deliberate defiance, where we see the rising up of evil intent, Lord, we may be fearful and would seek to withdraw from such, but may the challenge thrust us back upon thyself and the sufficiency of thy strength and thy grace, that we may be able to speak out of the things that are wrong and of the things that are good for our souls. Guide those who are in places of leadership over us. We think of those in political parties and political leadership and national leadership. But Lord, our thoughts might be more focused tonight upon thine own church and the influence of thy people throughout our land. We ask, Lord, that there would be more and more who know thy name and who fear thee, who would speak one to the other to encourage each other, and then to speak out to those round about, drawing attention to thyself, to be as light and to be as salt in an unsavory society. Lord, that is the plead, the prayer of our hearts this evening. We might be a small congregation and a small gathering of thine own, but Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to use us to speak up well for thee, and that thou wouldst in thy pleasure be amongst us to do us good. Come with us, we ask of thee then. Undertake for us, O Lord, in all of the things that might lie in front of us in this coming week. We know not what they are. We know not what they might bring. But we ask, Lord, that we might go into them relying entirely upon thyself. Confusion, doubt, fear, anxiety might come upon us day after day. But may we always step back and lean upon the one whom we've trusted in the past and who has never let us down. And may we walk by faith, judging by thy word rather than by sense and human analysis. And may we know what it is to lean upon thee, that there are the everlasting arms underneath to keep us and to carry us. So, Lord, hear us and bless us this evening once again as we wait upon thee in worship. And in all of thy dealings with us, deal with us in thy grace and in thy mercy. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. We continue our worship singing, this time from the words of Psalm 110, beginning of that psalm. The Lord did say unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes a stool whereon thy feet may stand. The Lord shall out of Sion send the rod of thy great power. In midst of all thine enemies, be thou the governor. A willing people in thy day of power shall come to thee. In holy beauties from morn's womb thy youth like dew shall be. The Lord himself hath made an oath, and will repent him never, of the order of Melchizedek. Thou art a priest forever. Psalm 110, the Lord did say unto my Lord. Reading this evening is once again back to the Acts of the Apostles, but tonight to chapter 16 of that book. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18 of it. Acts chapter 16, let us read and hear God's word. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman who was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, who was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman who resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed of a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gainsaying, but soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words of Psalm 119. And we break it in to read and sing at verse 17 of that psalm. Psalm 119 at verse 17. "With me thy servant in thy grace, deal bountifully, Lord, that by thy favour I may live and duly keep thy word. Open mine eyes that of thy law the wonders I may see. I am a stranger on this earth, hide not thy laws from me. My soul within me breaks and doth much fainting still endure, though longing, through longing that it hath all times unto thy judgments pure. Thou hast rebuked the cursed proud, who from thy precepts swerve. Reproach and shame remove from me, for I thy laws observe." Psalm 119, 17, "With me thy servant in thy grace."
With me thy servant
in thy grace.
Open my eyes, the door of thy door.
but faith did still endure through longing that it hath all times unto the judgments pure.
This evening I want us to consider the example and the testimony of the woman given to us from verse 14 onwards of chapter 16 of the Acts of the Apostles. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. There's one example given to us in the New Testament of the Lord ministering to the crowd, and in Mark chapter 5 we're told about a woman. She had a persistent disease of about 12 years, but she thought, if I can just get into the crowd and touch the hem of the garment of the Lord, I'll be cured. That's what she did. And that's what she experienced. And she knew it. She was greatly changed. And she thought, well, I'll just slip away in the crowd in the same way as I came. But the Lord was not going to allow that to happen. And so he asks the question, who has touched me? Hold that in your mind. Yes, it was dramatic. Others needed to know about it. And so he sought to identify the woman who had been healed. But I want to put side by side with that the experience we've looked at some time back of the Philippian jailer. Again, here we have a hardened, insensitive soldier. The one who was responsible for the most dangerous prisoners in the jail. And he knew that his life was on the line for these jail prisoners. If any of them escaped, it meant the end for him. And when there was that dramatic event with the Lord, with Paul in the prison, and the doors were opened and they were getting out, he knew what that meant, and he drew his sword and he was about to use it against himself, because he thought that's what happened. They were gone. But he was suddenly brought into the kingdom and brought to faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. The same essential qualities that we must show and exhibit are shown to us in that man's life: a trust in Jesus Christ. The same qualities we saw in that woman who touched the hem of the garment of the Lord. So can you imagine then that woman and that man? And they're going to come here with us, and they're going to give us the testimony of how the Lord dealt with both of them. They're going to repeat what went through their minds and what events followed them in life, the way in which the Lord dealt with them and the way in which they were saved. And it might well be the case that after we hear the two of them, we'll say it one to the other, I don't recognize the way the Lord dealt with you. When I think of the way the Lord dealt with me, and when I hear these two, I don't recognize the way he dwelt with one and not the other. They're so different. Which one is right? That woman with her quietness of approach and her approach in getting healed and trying to slip away. Or again, there was everything dramatic displayed in that Philippian jailer. Which one is right? Testimonies, as we said this morning, we're looking at it in the conversion of Paul in Acts 9 and the road to Damascus. Testimonies are good because they bring out spiritual experience. We've got flesh and blood pictures we can identify with and we can relate to. And we can say, yes, that's me. But even as we were thinking this morning, if we focus on the personal details too much, that's a danger that we forget the very common event and elements in any testimony. We saw it this morning. There was a dramatic display and revelation of the Lord to Paul. And if we were to think of that alone, we might think, well, I'm not a Christian. I didn't have what Paul went through. And we've got to remind ourselves then and now, with Paul, with the Philippian jailer, with that woman who was healed, with this woman Lydia, we've got to remember that our God is a God of variety. And the way he works is so different with any one of us. Our God is not boxed in. He's not tied down to be identical in all that he does in his dealings with each and every one of us. The Lord our God deals with us according to the memories that we've got from the experiences we've come through. God deals with us according to the character and makeup of what we are. God deals with us with the knowledge that we possess of his word and of Christian things. All of these are on the table, brought together in the way the Lord deals with you and with me. And although there are differences between us all, I keep repeating what we said this morning, there are certain essential experiences, no matter which way we come. We must see ourselves, 1, 2, 3, 4 of the people we mentioned tonight, that we're sinners in the hands of a holy God. We cannot save ourselves. We've got to be brought, and we are brought, to the level ground around the cross, where there is no handicap, where there is no advantage. We're equal there because we're all the same. We're sinners in need of a Saviour. And our eyes are open to see and appreciate the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. The variety of God's working with all of his people. And the best example I can give from Scripture is from the life of Elijah himself. Elijah was involved in the great displays of God's power and God's might. He was there when God stopped the rain for 3.5 years. He was there involved with the confrontation on Mount Carmel between himself and the 450 prophets of Baal. He was there when they called down rain and there was nothing to come from, called down fire and there was nothing for them. But when he called on the God, the living Jehovah, then there was the might of God answering his prayer and the fire came on his sacrifice. Yes, he thought, this is the way God works. God works in this way and only in that way. The way he knew, the way he experienced. But God had a lesson for him. He took him to the cave mouth. And there was fire and there was earthquake. And we're told very deliberately that God was not in the fire. And then there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. And then there was a still, small voice. The contrasting ways in which God works brought out for us there in the confrontation and the lesson to Elijah. The great and the mighty at times, the soft and the gentle voice of God at other times. What is it that wins the hearts of men? What is it that wins the hearts of the hearer of the gospel? Yes, at times it can be the solemn threat from a holy God which awakens fear and concern over spiritual matters. Things that we've never known before suddenly come into our life and dominate us. And the only relief we can get is when we turn to the Lord for forgiveness and pardon. But there are others when the Lord God uses a soft, a tender, a gentle approach in his dealings with us. But no matter which way it comes, each one of them and all of the others take us to the cross to see the mercy and the care and to appreciate the beauty and application of the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear his words of forgiveness, of peace, to know the experience as that woman felt it, the touch of the Lord to heal and to cure her soul. We hear a lot these days about climactic changes. Some places it pours with rain like it did this afternoon. Other places it's baking dry heat as we've had earlier on in southern Europe. And after the drought has been there for some time, there's no growth. The ground is baked solid and is hard. But then the rain comes on that dry ground and it's softened and it's refreshing and it's workable. That's what we need. We need the power of God to come upon our souls, which are like that dry, hard ground, to make us soft to the overtures of the gospel. That's what we have in this woman before us tonight. There's nothing dramatic as we were thinking of this morning with Paul. There's nothing mighty. There's nothing in that scale whatsoever. But she has the same experience and comes the same path, trusting, relying upon Jesus Christ. So therefore tonight I want us to think of this woman in contrast to this morning, so nobody feels they're excluded. Nobody fits into this pattern, but into that pattern. So let's think of Lydia and the way the Lord dealt with her. The first thing I want us to think about is the providence of God in this event and experience. God had plans for both Paul and this woman, and he was at work in both ends of the equation to bring them together. He had a spiritual meeting to take place between them, but they were separated by hundreds of miles. And the wonder of God's grace and of God's power can be seen and can be deducted from a simple lesson of geography. Where was Paul? Paul, we're told in verses 6 and 7, he was in Asia. That's modern-day Turkey. And if you just simply take Turkey as a box, it'll help us to understand what's going to happen here. There in Turkey and Asia, he was seeking the opportunity to preach. But we're told in verse 6 and 7 that his plans were frustrated. The doors weren't opening for him, so he moved on into Galatia, and again the same thing happened. The doors were closed, so he thought, well, I'll try Bithynia. And again the same thing happened. He tried to go into Mysia. All the places that he was going to. If you think of the box we've talked about, he went from the top right to the bottom left. He went southwest. Nothing happened, so he went straight up the line to the north. He tried to get across into Bithynia, Mysia. He tried all these doors. They weren't opening. Because God had a plan for Paul to meet someone else. Not in anywhere in Asia, but a plan to meet her in Europe. We're reminded of the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Why did the Lord go down that area? Why did he go by that well? Why? We're told in John 4, we're told he must go through Samaria. Why? Because he had to meet that woman. So it is with the providence and guiding Paul. He had to get into Europe because he had to meet that woman there. It wasn't a simple direct path. There was a roundabout path that Paul had been going on. Doors closing, doors closing, doors closing. All of it so perplexing to him. But that's the way the Lord is sometimes with his people. David Livingstone. David Livingstone wanted to go to China to be a missionary. But God took him to Africa. George Carey. He wanted to go to the South Sea Islands, to Polynesia, and to be a worker there. But God took him to India. Doors were closed. The providence and guiding doors were opened to take people to where the Lord had for them to work. It works with them on a grand scale with these missionaries. It works with you and I also. We might be going through this coming week, and perhaps something comes upon our soul that we've got to be somewhere or meet someone. And when that takes place, we're there to help, to share, to speak, but to bring something of the gospel into the problem, the dilemma, the concerns, whatever it might be that we've got to deal with, but to bring a testimony into that situation and person. That's the way Paul, God worked in the providence of Paul. He had a vision. And a man was there speaking to him from Macedonia, calling him across the seas into Greece. And you can imagine how Paul thought. All these doors closing. All these doors closing. And I've got to go into Greece. You can imagine the way in which Paul thought, well, there's great expectations. What's going to happen when I get there? And who was he going to meet? Yes, the providence of God in the life of Paul. But we also see the providence of the Lord in the life of Lydia. She was a seller of purple. Where was she? She was far from home. We're told that she came from the city of Thyatira. And again, if you think of that box that we had for Turkey, right in the middle of it almost, that's where Thyatira was, in the middle of Turkey in Asia. She was there known for the garments and the cloth and the dye that she sold. It was good quality, it had a reputation, so she was on a business trip. Hundreds of miles across in Europe. Away from home. In Greece. She was there doing business. But God had a surprise for her more than anything else of business. It was a day, it was a journey just like any other. But there she was to meet with Paul at a particular time, in a particular place, to hear the message of the gospel, the new birth of faith and trust in Christ. And even there we see the odd meeting place in which it all took place. Paul had been trying to preach in Asia. Every door was closed. Now at last the Lord opened the door for him to go to Europe. A man called to him to go across to Macedonia. And here he is in Europe. And who does he meet? Not a man, but a woman. And not from Europe, but from Asia. God's providence in bringing them both together. Doors closing, but others opening. So it is with ourselves. Different paths, different voices, different places. The providence of God working in you and me to take us to a place where the Lord has something to say to us. Is it Acts 10, verse 33, after Peter being guided and told by Cornelius to go and take Peter to the meeting? Congregation is gathered and they say, we're all here gathered to hear what you've got to say. The providence of the Lord bringing them there. The providence of the Lord bringing us underneath this gospel. So that's the first thing I want us to think about, the providence of the Lord in the life of Paul, in the life of Lydia. But the second thing I want us to think about is the pattern of her living. The pattern of her living. She seemed to be successful and to be well off because she had a house in Philippi where she was, but she also had a home back there in Thyatira. She was a woman of some considerable business ability. She either made money or she had been given money because she was there as a delegate going on business trips somewhere. But no matter what she had, no matter the business she was engaged in, that did not spoil her spiritual concerns. We all see it today, people who are in business, they become hardened. They abandon standards, many. They use lower ones if it works and gets them trade. Anything will do just to get a quick buck. But not this woman. She was there and she worshipped God. She had an interest in the Jewish faith. And she remained true to the opportunities she had. There was no obvious place of worship in Philippi. But she heard. And she went to this prayer meeting. There wasn't much going for it. It was beside a riverbank. A mile out of the city, it said. Ordinary. Even uninteresting. There wasn't much going for it. Yet she went that distance and to that place to worship God. A challenge from her for us. Yes, she was a businesswoman and for 5, maybe 6 days of the week, she was alive these days, making trade, making deals, selling what she had to sell. But when it came to the 7th day, she was still filled with energy and enthusiasm for God. She wasn't tired and out of the way and out of the place. She wasn't indifferent to the worship, the constraints, the spiritual need. She brought the same energy, the same application of her mind, her heart, as she did to her business. She prepared and she found the place of meeting. Even if it was out of the way. But that's where she wanted to be. Nothing extraordinary happened. But there she was. Diligently putting it in the place of worship. And there it was that the Lord met her, blessed her, and Paul spoke to her. Yes, there was no building along the riverbank. Only a few people were gathered there There was no sermon preached, it was just prayer. You could almost say she could be excused. She's tired, she's been working 6 days, she's away from home. There's no big crowd, there's no big name. It's only a prayer meeting. But her heart's desire was to there meet with the Lord. And there's that phrase that comes to us from the Old Testament time and time again. They that honour me, I will honour them. And so she seeks and seeks out those like-minded people on this, the Lord's Day. Only a few. It might only be a few. But she will gather with them. And where these few are, the Lord is there present to bless them. Yes, the pattern of her life, she worshipped God. But again, we've got to notice how that was finely tuned in her life. It was the Sabbath day. She was away from home, yes. Nobody knew what she was going to do, how she lived. She could have stayed in her bed and nobody was looking over her shoulder. She could have been there and done what she liked on the seventh day and nobody would have been reporting back to base. But no. This was the Sabbath day. And she was conscious of God's eye upon her. No clothes were sold that day. It was a time of peace and rest. To think, to listen. These other 6 days, there was the noise of business. There was the noise of selling and bargaining. The noise of moving and traveling and meeting people afresh. But this day was different. Because we're told here that she listened. She was attentive to the things which were spoken of Paul. She listened. She didn't allow anything of home base way back in Thyatira. She didn't allow her mind to go, well, how are they getting on back home? She didn't allow the business plans, well, I started to sell to this man and I just stop and I've got to pick up the strands on Monday. I wonder if he's still going to buy. None of these things came into play. All that she was doing, she was sitting. She had gathered with God's people of like minds as herself. And she was listening to what God is saying by his servant to them people. It's not enough. It's not enough that we gather and that we attend our church meetings. Because we've all done it, you and me together. We can be there sitting in the pew. And our minds can be roaming on the corners of the earth. We can be sitting there respectable and our mind can be going back over, well, I've got this to do and I've got that to do. And nobody knows except you and God. We need to hang on every word. We need to listen to what the Lord is saying. We cannot, we dare not switch off. And we must not allow anything to intrude. We must not allow tiredness to have an effect. We must focus and listen to what the Lord is saying to us. The pattern of our life. So yes, we've got the providence. Yes, we've got the pattern. Thirdly, I want us to think about the preaching of Paul himself. Remind ourselves. He had a vision of a man speaking to him and calling him to go over Macedonia. And so he went over to Macedonia as the Lord had instructed him. And he was looking for a man in the city of Philippi. Couldn't find him. He might have heard of a prayer meeting along the side of the river. So out there he went, looking for a man. But there weren't many gathered there. It was just a handful. But there he went looking for a man. But he didn't find a man. He found a woman. So often we hear it said today, well, there's only a few. We can safely dismiss the prayer meeting. We can pass by it because there's only a few gathered there. But remember that we're gathered here as a prayer meeting when we do gather. To encourage each other, yes. But also to do business with God our Lord in prayer. When Paul came amongst them, he didn't excuse himself and say, well, look, I've got other things to do. I'm too busy. I've got a crowd to go to see, and please have me excused. I've got to be somewhere else. Paul was not chasing after power, popularity, or praise. Paul was seeking simply to encourage the people of God. And the people were encouraged simply by one person coming amongst them. Because what did Paul do when he was there? He went to the place where he would be heard. Again, let's think again of what Paul's approach in his ministry. He went to places where he could assume a certain amount of knowledge. He went into the synagogues, first of all. They had understanding, they had knowledge, they had reverence from the Old Testament. And he could use that to start speaking about the Lord, the Messiah, promised in Old Testament passages. And so when he went to this prayer meeting, he went there to speak about things about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lesson there for ourselves. Yes, we've got to be aware of who we're speaking to. We've got to be aware of what they know. And we've got to measure and judge what we say to them in the light of what they know so that it goes home to them. There's no need to come out with a big theological treatise to those who are ignorant of Scripture. Different approaches, different situations, different people we meet. That's what we find Paul doing. When he went to Athens, when he went to Corinth, what did he do? He stood up and he preached. Here he is amongst a crowd by the riverbank. What does he do? He sits down and he talks. He talks to them face to face, heart to heart. And as he spoke, there was one woman in the crowd, small or great as that crowd might be, but there was one woman there who was drawing things out of him, absorbing them, taking them to herself. That's what he was aware of. So it is with ourselves. There are times when all that we can do and the best that we can do is to slip a word edgeways into someone's life, dropping one seed in the crack that we see, dropping it in and praying that it would later grow. But that one seed, the one subject that Paul focused on time after time, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the testimony himself, we spoke about it this morning, of what God had done for him. Personal, precious, effective. And out of that experience, he spoke and shared with that woman what the Lord meant to him. He addressed her heart from his own soul. We never know who goes through our hands You've got a crowd. You've got 5, 6, 7 youngsters, very young, that sit down there. They go through the back. We never know what's going to be for them in the future. We never know what the Lord's future plans for them might be. We can sit and we can talk and share with them the spiritual substance and the truth. One visitor comes through that door once out of 52 weeks of the year. We don't know who he is, what his background or plans might be. But he comes and he hears something. Be it from the pulpit or from the conversations that we have with him. He hears something vital about the Lord and salvation. And we don't know what effect that might have when he goes from our number back to where he came from. Lydia, back to Thyatira, whatever. But there, with a word and a testimony of what the Lord has done for him, for her. Providence, pattern, preaching. One last thought before we finish. I want us to think of the power of the Spirit of God. The Lord has his own way of dealings with each one of us. We've said it already. And here we have the Lord doing something to this and with this woman. Three very simple things that the Spirit of God opens for her. He opens her heart. He opens his word. He opens her house. Three simple things where the power of the Spirit of God is in operation. First of all, he opens her heart. I think it's Spurgeon that uses the illustration of a plough going across a field, breaking up the ground, making it open, workable, able to take the seed that's planted in it. And so often that's what the Spirit of God does with you and I. The plough of God that work in our life, whatever is needed for us, however hard the ground is, breaking it up so the seed can go in and produce spiritual good. The Spirit of God opened her heart. But secondly, the Spirit of God opened the word that Paul spoke, because we're told that she attended to the things which were spoken by Paul. You can almost imagine her sitting there. What did you say? What did you say? You can almost imagine her sitting on the edge of her seat, listening carefully to what Paul was saying, making mental notes of it, that she can go back and visit them later on. That's the Spirit of God opening the word, because she wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. She relished it. She desired it. She delighted in it. We need to come to church with that same set of descriptions to ourselves. Not with routine or habit, but we come together as a congregation with this great expectation of hearing something more and something fresh about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the Spirit of God opened her heart, opened his word, and we're told opened her house. Yes, she was converted. And she constrained them, we're told. Verse 15, the very end, she constrained them. They said, come on, come with me. Come with me. And say, oh, no, we can't go there because we're going here, there, and the other place. And she was insistent. No, come with me. She wanted to make public her faith and she wanted to be of use in God's service. Opening her house. And that one verse, we never read it, but it's there, the very last verse of this chapter. Go and simply read it. The people who were in prison and were set free, they went out of the prison. And where did they go? they entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. There would have been a gathering of faithful Christian believers in her house now. They were there together, met. And that's where Paul went after he was sent out of prison. The house was opened. The house was used. Blessings were poured into her life. And now she was pouring blessings out to others, showing kindness to them in their need. The power of the Spirit of God, opening her heart, the word, the home. Simple testimony of this woman's life then. And the question is, do we know something of her experience tonight? You might have heard the sermon this morning and you say, well, none of these things apply to me. I cannot fit in any of the details into what God is doing to me from that testimony. But perhaps we're more like Lydia than like Paul. Perhaps the gentle touch of God's hand upon our life is what we can identify for ourselves tonight. The touch of God's power and God's grace in our life and in our souls. We may not be able to say much of where or when it's happened. We may be able to say something of how it's happened and the path and the experiences that have taken us to the cross and to belief in Jesus Christ. There's a whole variety of ways in which the Lord deals with us. But the one thing I would say as we close is, be sure that it has happened. No matter what the variety might be, and all of us are made different from God's hand, the one thing we've got to be sure of, has this happened to me? Remember the testimony of the man, John's Gospel, chapter 9, with all the different explanations that came about his blindness and why it's happened and such like. 3-4 different categories given to us there, but he cuts through them all at the end and he says, John chapter 9, verse 25. I'll tell you this. Once I was blind, now I can see. We may not be able to say much about our testimony, where or when. We may know something of how it's happened. But the thing we've got to be sure of is, has it happened? The testimony he gives must be ours tonight. Once I was blind, now I can see. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for the sweet overtures of the gospel lapping on the soul, on the shore of our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for the way in which thou dost deal with us as thou dost know us perfectly and fully. We bless thy name for the way in which thou hast taken us along that path to the foot of that cross, opening our eyes to see the wonder and the glory and the appropriateness of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners such as we are. Bless thy word this day to our soul, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We close our service tonight by singing from Psalm 43. Psalm 43, at verse 3 to the end. O send thy light forth and thy truth. Let them be guides to me, and bring me to thine holy hill, even where thy dwellings be. Then will I to God's altar go, to God my chiefest joy. Yea, God, my God, thy name to praise, my harp I will employ. Why art thou then cast down, my soul? What should discourage thee? And why with vexing thoughts art thou disquietened in me? Still trust in God. For him to praise, good cause I yet shall have. He of my countenance is the health, my God, that doth me save. Psalm 43, from 3 to the end, O send thy light forth and thy truth.
O send thy light forth and thy truth, let there be guides to me, and bring me to thine home.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you this night. Amen.